Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we are in the Tri-Town Advice Givers studio in St. John, Indiana, with Gloria Morris of Float 60. Hi, Gloria. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. This is a great opportunity. Thanks for having me.
To start off every show, I just ask the guest to tell me a little bit about yourself. Not really business related, just you.
Well, I'm a mom.
Okay.
Of a couple of wonderful kids. One of them goes to school right here across the street. My son, John, he's 17. My daughter's 20, and she's out in the beautiful Tempe, Arizona campus of ASU. And then I have a bonus son, Gavin, who's 7 and in second grade.
Okay. Yeah. A bonus son. Yeah, I like that.
He's not my stepson. He's my bonus son.
So. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong resident of the region. You know, left a few years at a time, but I consider myself a regionite for sure.
Always drug back.
Always.
Yeah.
My family's here, and this is home.
Okay. So you are in the finishing stages of opening a second location of Float 60. So why don't we jump back a little bit and go to your first location? How long has it been open? Where's it at? And that kind of stuff.
So the first location is Float 60 River North, and that has been open since February 13th of 2016. Not that I keep track of these dates. They are, in my memory bank. So ironically, the Northwest Indiana location is on track to open that same date, 2 years apart. So they're my children. In fact, the first one was about a 9-month incubation period from my first float to opening the doors, which, you know, I know now, given what it takes, that was pretty epic in terms of a timeline. So yeah, we've been open for just a couple of years, and it's been one of the most fulfilling things I've ever been a part of.
So a couple steps in there. So first, what is it? And then secondly, how did you get involved in it? And
great question. So awesome part of this business is a lot of people don't know what the hell it is.
Right.
You know, how often can you have a business where you're exposing somebody for the first time to something they've really never heard of? And if they have heard of it, they're usually a little like, oh, that sounds, you know, intimidating, or, you know, why would I want to do that? So it kind of goes back to April of 2015. I was dating my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, and he told me that we were going to go to this place on a Friday night, and it was this dark place, and they put you in this tank-like thing, shut the door, and lock the door for an hour, and you can't get out, and you just float in there. And I looked at him like, what? What the hell are you talking about? So I always joke that he's a terrible marketer. It just did not sound interesting or appealing to me, but it was intriguing. I'm like, this is so out there that, okay, I'll give it a shot. So we went to this place called Space Time Tanks, who, by the way, has been in business for 34 years.
Oh, wow.
This is not something that is really new, but a lot of people are really just trying to, or just for the first time understanding what it is. But Space Time is where a lot of people first started floating. So, yeah, tried it, lasted the whole hour.
The whole 60 minutes?
Because what it is, back to the original question, is about a foot of water or less, and that water is heated to the temperature of your skin.
Okay.
So it's not too hot, it's not too cold, and in that water, it's kind of a silky feeling because it's 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt, which is magnesium. And so you just can't even wrap your head around what that feels like. You can't replicate this in any way, shape, or form in your home or in a saltwater pool or anything like that. And the thing that's really interesting about it is once you get in there, your body is immediately buoyant because you can't not float in that much density of salt. And it's this weightless, like laying on a cloud experience. So it's really, really cool and you know, I didn't even understand what the benefits were until afterward, but I think it was a really interesting experience. That was the first time.
So the first time you go into it, I'm assuming you're tense though. Like, I don't know. Or is it so shallow that.
No, I'd say a lot of people are tense.
Okay.
No, I am a poster child of somebody who's wired, always attached to my phone because I'm in the tech industry, for crying out loud. I mean, that's what I do for a living. I'm a stressed out mom. I've been in the corporate world. I've just balanced so many things, spinning plates all over the place. And it's uncomfortable for people like me, and I represent a lot of people, to be in a place where you're awake and you're doing nothing.
Right.
It's very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not going to say that I liked it right the first like 10 minutes.
Okay.
But I got to this state of really just being like, wow, this is pretty relaxing. For the first time, I'm doing something that kind of slowed me down a little bit. But the real impact of it was when I left there, everything seemed brighter because I've been in the dark for an hour, right? Everything was more defined and kind of high def, as I described it. So my senses, although, you know, it's referred to as sensory deprivation tank, my senses were heightened when I came out. And everything seemed just more vibrant, which was really interesting as well. Like, for you to even notice those types of things takes effort.
Right.
And it really didn't take that much effort. So I noticed that coming out. But the number one reason why this hooked me is that night when I went to sleep, I hadn't been out to, you know, have any wine or anything like that. And, you know, normally I have to wind down. There's a period of just, I need to decompress and my brain's spinning. This night I went to bed and I felt like somebody knocked me out. It was just profound.
Wow.
So it was the impact of just soaking in that magnesium, which is like a natural muscle relaxer. And
okay.
Yeah, you just sink into your pillow and just you sleep like a rock.
So how long was it between when you actually did that and went to bed then? Was it in the evening that you did
still light out when we left, but by the time we got home, it was pretty much time to go to bed.
Okay.
So it wasn't like the whole day.
Right.
But I noticed that when I came out, I remember it being this bright, vibrant, high def.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came home, I was just kicked.
And it was a good night's sleep, though? Like, when you woke up the next morning, refreshed? Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I don't consider myself not to be a good sleeper. I do have, like, mind racing at night and just kind of processing of everything that's going on. But this night was different. So I almost didn't believe that that could possibly be the impact from my first time doing it.
Right.
I just felt like there must have been other, you know, criteria mm-hmm. that should have been played into that scenario. But no, the next time. So my next mission was, I got to do that again just to kind of make sure.
Right.
And the second time was really great because I kind of knew what to expect. I didn't have that tenseness
right.
that you asked about because people just don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So the acclimation period of relaxing is shorter.
Able to relax quicker, right.
And you can imagine that if you do it three times,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of a pro. Because there are some things you got to think about. It was immediately profound, immediately impactful.
So what was the date you said that the first time you went?
April 17th of 2015.
Okay.
And I remember that because it was tax season and I was particularly stressed, as all business people are, right? Because I've been in business for a long time. And so I remember meeting with my girlfriends from high school for dinner and telling them what I was going to do Friday night. And they were like, whoa, you know, but you got to tell us about it. And I remember being kind of nervous. And I almost remember telling them as if I didn't know if I was going to be able to survive. So this is the last
place
I was.
That's funny.
You know, so I had that crazy,
yeah.
You know what to expect. But it was, not too far after that I started.
So that was a quick turnaround from that time till you opened then. Relatively
quick.
Yeah.
So the story behind that is it was so interesting, but I didn't particularly love the environment of that particular place. It was, you know, it's a great place, but it was a very specific kind of environment there where you either loved it, or you know, sure, you might be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I should maybe think about buying one of these for my house. How hard can this be, right? I had no idea how hard it could be. And I never did buy one for my house, which I am so grateful for. But, you know, that's kind of how it started. I left after my second float thinking, huh, this would be interesting to just have at home. I know I need this. And it wasn't necessarily business connecting
right, gotcha,
now, right at that time. But then when I started researching and found out that they're as much as my vehicle, I was like, oh, well, I'll have to probably charge people to come to my, you know,
right,
my friends to come over and use it. But very immediately through that process, I knew in this research that I was doing online that it was becoming more modern. There were some equipment out there that was different than the equipment that I tried. And so I started connecting dots and I thought, you know everybody needs this. And I know I can do this in such a way to make it kind of attainable to people like me. And that was kind of my mission from there. So from April of 2015, my next step was actually creating my company on paper in May, and literally came up with the name of the company and the kind of the concept and the vision of what it would look like in the float tank, because I started floating all over the place. I was flying to different places floating,
yeah,
trying to see what else was out there. And that's that was how it happened. And there's a lot of information in between
that. Oh, I'm sure.
But it is like having a baby.
So why River North first one?
Well, it wasn't supposed to be River North.
Okay.
So one of the number one lessons I've learned in business since this started is that you should never become emotionally attached to a location. And I was emotionally attached to a location when I first decided to pursue this. I actually have a temporary residence. It's been there like 5 years, but I've been living in Chicago as well as Indiana in this area called Lakeshore East. And there's this Mariano's there, and there's this empty space next to Mariano's. And the whole time I've been in that neighborhood, I always walk by there and think, gosh, there should be something there. What can I open there? And then the dots connected. That's what should go there. And so I was on this mad mission to open in that location. I was so, and I believe that's why I went so fast, because I already had that part figured out.
Gotcha.
In my mind.
Right.
So after much, work trying to get that to happen and working with a major real estate development firm in Chicago who had no idea what the hell I was talking about. And I certainly wasn't a Subway client or national name.
Right.
They looked at me like I was completely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were right, but but they were actually very, they were very open to the idea, but it was going to be a very expensive endeavor. So we went back and forth between that location and another location down, right down kind of the walkway from that same one. And it was just not going to work out from a financial perspective. Because in my mind, this is another lesson too, everything you think it's going to cost, it's going to be double.
Double, exactly.
Especially your first time around, you have no idea what you're doing. You have
right,
no idea what it takes to get the company going. It's pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I knew that place wasn't going to work out, and this was about July of 2015 now, and I was completely deflated because my vision was having it there in my neighborhood. And so when I finally accepted the fact that wasn't going to work out and it wasn't going to make sense for me to go there, I got on one of those Blue Divvy bikes. And I was crying, and it was the summer, and I'll never forget this. I'm literally biking up and down streets in Streeterville, and you know, I ended up in River North, and I started calling names on the side. Because guess what? I didn't have a broker. That's how green I was at the time. You being in real estate, you probably are like, oh my gosh.
Right.
But you know, that's how much I had it figured out. I didn't need
right,
help in that regard until now. So the story goes, and I'll make this part quick. I called called one of the names on one of the windows of one of the places I passed, and his name is Dave Curry. Give him a shout out. This man drove me crazy. So I called him cold, right? And he sniffs out that I don't have a broker. And I told him what I was looking for, and I was looking for that, you know, asking about that one particular location that I drove by. And that location wasn't available. So that was the end of that. But he proceeded to call me every couple of days, and frankly, he was driving me crazy. And like, I just didn't want to deal with him. So never met him in person, but there was one Friday, and this was after a couple of weeks, he was calling my phone off the hook, driving me crazy. And I was about to rip him apart. I mean, I'm Italian, my temper comes out. I was about to tell him where to go. And he picks up, when I pick up the phone, he's like, "Don't hang up, I got the perfect location. I talked to the owner, he loves your concept, totally wants to take a look at it and have you look at his space. You have to come right now." So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give this guy a shot because he's just got so much conviction and
tenacity.
And like, so I go, and that's where I ended up, in that space in River North. I would have never looked there in that particular building. I was looking in River North, obviously, but yeah, that's how it worked out. I met the building owner, and he seemed to get it. So that's right. One of the things, you know, now as I'm looking at other locations, the first thing I do is find out who the landlord is and you know, what their interest is.
In right. Cool.
Something crazy like this.
So obviously it's gone well in River North. So now you're on your way to Northwest Indiana. Schererville?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. River North's been so busy, which is great. So my second location should have been already open in Chicago, but that's a whole, we could talk about that in a whole different podcast. You see my gray hair, but I had some challenges with a particular location I was looking at for space two. And in that quest, I was exposed to somebody, my accountant, but as a matter of fact, introduced me to the building owner of where this Indiana location's going.
Okay.
Came down with his wife and sent his kids over to River North to check it out. He's like, yeah, this would be great. We'd love to have it. So it was kind of serendipitous the way that came together. I wasn't expecting to come to Northwest Indiana so soon. I didn't know if it was the right timing yet, but now that we're this far along, I know it is. We've had just an amazing outreach of people who are kind of chopping
it, itching to get it open.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And it is right off 41.
Yes. So, there are two beautiful professional buildings right behind Steak and Shake and Jalapenos. They're off of 41 across from Omni. And I'd never been in those buildings before. But when I did, I was like, wow, these buildings are spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
There's a law firm, a number of professional centers in there.
Right.
So I checked it out, and it's a very small space. So, you know, one thing I want to manage expectations for, Float 60 is an intimate studio. And so when you go in, it's going to be probably not what people expect. It's going to be small. And, you know, we did that by design. We want it to be an intimate space. And yeah, we'll have four float tanks.
Okay.
Three will be kind of the more open cabin style, very modern, you know, optional lights. The fourth one is very cool. It is a sensory deprivation tank style. It's got this amazing like door that it's like a bubble. It almost looks like a spaceship. So people are very intrigued by that. Some people look at it and think I'll never go in that. And I would challenge that. A lot of people say that when they start with the cabins and kind of work their way. Once they try the tank, it's a fan favorite.
Just doing a little bit of research, I think I saw a picture of that one, and that was my initial thing. Like, man, I don't know if I could crawl in there and stay for an hour.
Yeah.
Because I've had an MRI before, and I did not like that. But I would try it, definitely. Yeah.
It's definitely something to try.
Yeah.
And I, too, shared the same feeling.
Yeah.
I went to this first place, and again, going back to how my husband described it, That completely sounds unappealing to me. So the first question I asked is, why would somebody do that? So that's, where it kind of comes down to what the benefits are, which I'm sure you're going to ask me about at some point in this discussion, so I won't jump the gun. But yeah, I think, our strategy in opening Float 60 was have some variety in the types
Gotcha.
That are out there, because at least people in Chicago, they're used to floating in that one type of tank, although most of our clients have never floated. So we don't get a lot of people who used to go to that space-time tanks, which unfortunately they're not open anymore. Hopefully they'll reopen at some point, but their building just happened to be going through a demolish. They had to move. So they were needing to move like six blocks up the road, and we thought we'd have more crossover from mm-hmm. our clients, but we've got a few, but most people who come in have never floated before.
That's interesting. But I'm assuming that once they start, they continue to come back. So there's a high repetition.
Yeah. So I've been a business consultant for a long time. So I'm very data driven and science based. So just the notion of me being in this business is ironic, because there's not a whole lot of science behind it yet. There's definitely some, but I track a lot of those types of metrics. So we're seeing a lot of conversions from first time to second time. There's always going to be a percentage of people who, see it as a one and done thing, but that's sure. It's a big mistake to do that. I mean, we don't pressure anybody. The last thing we want to do when you come in is say, oh, you should float four times a month, or there's no prescription. So if you okay. do it once, you'll sleep well that night. So it's an immediate thing. You're going to feel more relaxed. So I always say, do it as often as you want to feel good and not want to kill people, right? if you commute to Chicago every day, you have those feelings of road rage. You want to float more often.
That's funny.
But I only float once a month. I float probably the least out of my entire staff. Mostly because we're very busy and I'm working on other things, but I plan to do it at least weekly when we open here in Northwest Indiana. I'm so excited for that.
So that was going to be my question. So is monthly, is that kind of the, you said there's no prescription, but is that kind of the target, like to feel better overall, or is it depending on each person, how wound up they are?
It really depends on each person. So I look at myself, and again, I'm not prescribing anything, right? There's no science out there that says
right.
you should float X amount of times. It's just there's benefit to doing it, and it really depends on your particular situation. So me being a very high energy individual, I know I should do this at least once a week, because it just helps me decompress right. and kind of balance and be more tolerant and patient with people. But we have people who do it multiple times a week. I mean, one of my most wonderful clients who ended up expressing interest in being an investor in us, he's floated, I think, 160 times since we've opened.
Wow.
And he's a trader by profession.
Okay.
He's
a high stress job.
He's just an amazing, calm, I mean, he's just the epitome of what happens when you float, right? But also being very high performant. Mm-hmm. So people who are very high performance and have a lot of demands benefit greatly from floating, just because it's almost like a forced balance.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I can see it in your eyes. You want to come and.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. And I also actually saw, looking at your website, something about cryo. Do you have cryo tank yet, or you're
actually adding cryo to Northwest Indiana?
Okay.
We have amazing cryo partners in Chicago, so we're not adding cryo in our Illinois locations, because there's just so much wellness mm-hmm. in Chicago and so many great partners. So we prefer to collaborate there, but here there is no
right.
Opportunity to do that. We're going to partner with a lot of organizations, obviously, but cryo is a very unique modality that is very beneficial and very complementary for people who do float for performance
right.
recovery reasons. There's so many different profiles of people who float, but we've had great success with this athletic performance
okay.
Niche.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons we're bringing it here. Also, my husband is a huge cryo advocate. He definitely wanted to have it here. If you work out, you know, intensely, cryo is a great thing for recovery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to be in the studio, though, the Float 60 studio.
It is.
Okay.
We're actually exploring a mobile cryo environment, so where we can actually take the cryo to different sporting events and marathons and things like that. So we're exploring that. So it's not going to have a permanent home, but it
gotcha.
May have a temporary... Yeah. residency there in Northwest Indiana. So that's going to be a little bit after we open.
Okay.
Right now I've got it slated to about July, but there's a lot of preparation that goes into that as well. We want to really focus on the floating and then add that. So.
Cool. So if I'm going into a session, are there any things that I should be doing or not doing before? Limited caffeine, no meal, full meal, anything like that?
Yes, so we give kind of a list of things that you should be aware of when you come to Float. Definitely, you've hit on a couple, so you must be doing your homework.
I just kind of imagined because I know for myself, I am like you described earlier. If I'm sitting doing nothing at home, it drives me crazy because I start thinking about all the things I should be doing. So I can only imagine with caffeine that just amps it up and harder to relax. And
it does. So you want to give yourself, you know, as much opportunity to relax quickly as possible, because the goal, goodness, going back to the process of floating, there's 1,000 pounds of salt in there. And so when you float, your body goes into this state of, you know, really deep relaxation once you let yourself go. If you've had caffeine, you're going to be much less likely to relax sooner rather than later. And you also, the really cool thing about being in a float tank is everything is magnified. So again, I go back and say this sensory deprivation term is kind of a misnomer because it's very enhanced. You feel your heartbeat. You hear your heartbeat. You can feel your digestion, so you don't want to go and eat a huge meal before you come in because you're going to feel your whole biology working, which is cool. I mean, it's the first time you're probably aware of it, and it's disturbing. It's distracting. So, you don't want to be kind of ramped up on caffeine. But if you do, I mean, you're still going to relax, and it's not going to be a deal breaker. One thing you should not do before you float ever is shave because it hurts. And if you have any scrapes or cuts, it's open
the salt water. Yeah.
It's all salt. I mean, like I said, it's 1,000 pounds. And I didn't believe that could be true because when you go to Walgreens or CVS and you buy some Epsom salt, it's 2 pounds, right? That's like the big bag. And in your bath at home, if you've ever used Epsom salt, you might put like a half a cup.
Right.
If you're feeling crazy, you might put one cup, but we're talking 20, 50-pound bags of salt. So it's such a high concentration that anything in your body that has any sensitivity, you'll feel like a little tingle. So it's not great for people who have had recent injuries where there's, you know, an open wound, although it does help your skin heal faster. It's still a little bit uncomfortable. So you don't want to shave. And, you know, even for men, shaving your face, you'll get some water on your face. But, yeah, when you come in, we give you a whole orientation. And my team is awesome. They will make you feel very comfortable because I'm sure you won't be. But we provide everything you need from earplugs to little petroleum jelly. If you do have any scrapes or cuts, you can protect them. We have... cotton swabs if you get salt in your ear. We have like vinegar water, and then in the tank itself we have a water bottle that's just pure water, so if you do make the mistake of getting salt water in your eyes, you want to spray that out, because that will also cause you to jump out of your tank in great pain. So we try to give you a lot of tips, but you know, I just got salt water in my eyes the last time I floated. It just happens, especially when you're kind of getting to that state, you're not thinking as clearly because you're just relaxed. You're almost, you know, so tired now that you're not thinking, and sometimes you'll touch your eye. So yeah, there's some tricks that we've really mastered, and we help you through all of that. So
when you're going into the tent, clothed, not clothed?
We absolutely want you to be naked.
Okay.
Can I say that on your podcast?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. The idea of going in a float tank is to be completely free.
Okay.
And we're very, always very prioritized with the sanitation of the tank. So we don't want you to bring a bathing suit in because it just harbors, you know,
sure,
bacteria that we don't want. So you actually shower before you go in the tank, so you're completely naked. Then you go in the tank naked, and then you come out and shower again. So it's all a private room. You're not sharing this with other people. It's a one-to-one ratio. It's you to the tank. People ask, can we float with our spouses? Yeah, you can float at the same time in two different rooms, but we don't do,
sure,
couples floating. You know, it's very much an individual activity.
Okay. So 60 minutes in the tank, and then time before and after, so like 90 minutes type of thing?
Yeah, we do allow people to do 90-minute floats. In fact, okay, that's one of the debates in the industry, and there is some study going around, you know, the duration. But 60 minutes, you come in and you shower 5 to 7 minutes, and then you float for 60, and you'll know when to get out. Our tanks will let you know. And you come out and shower again, and then we want you to kind of relax before we throw you back into the world. We want you to sit and relax in our little tea area. We'll make you tea. That's all part of the experience. It doesn't cost anything. And we just want you to chill out and relax as long as you want.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So as far as, well, you already mentioned that you're in a different profession. So do you have a management team in place that manages that location and soon to be this location?
Yes, I am a very unique individual in this industry. A lot of folks who open float centers open them because they love floating and they want to start it themselves and, you know, run the place. And I took a very different approach because I happen to love what I do for a living. I'm not one of those people who was looking to get out of,
sure,
what I was doing. Although there's sometimes I don't like it as much, and then I think, you know, twice about it. But I've always kind of balanced a couple of different things. So my strategy in opening this first location, I always had the vision to open at least a couple of locations, just because of the volume of people in Chicago. So I hired my first director who, you know, the vision was that she would oversee the day-to-day operations, and then once we open the second location, she would oversee both. So,
gotcha,
a regional oversight, and then we have a manager who handles kind of the maintenance of the studio, and there's a lot of maintenance. So there's a lot that goes into opening a place like this and actually maintaining it. It's not as easy as it looks. That is lesson number four. Did I have three? I don't know. There's a lot of them in there. But yeah, I have an amazing staff. I never thought that I would have as much staff as I do so quickly, but we have such a focus on customer service and really enhancing the experience with, you know, having people accessible for people to talk to after, and we need people there. So we run our shift with usually three people, and then we have the oversight that kind of will bounce around to the other locations. So yeah, we have 19 employees right now.
Oh wow.
And then we'll have, we run 7 days a week. So
yeah,
that's one of the reasons. And we run from 8 in the morning to 10 at night. So here in Indiana, we'll be a little bit different. We'll be a little bit more limited. We will be closed one day, just until we understand kind of the demand. I don't expect the same volume here as we do have in the city, of course. So we're gonna be much more efficient, but leveraging staff across both.
So some of the people from River North will come here and cross train and...
Yes. Yeah, we're just working on that right now. We're working on a whole training program. In fact, you know, back to kind of what I do, I have my day job and my night job and afternoon job and break time job and everything else. Like, my whole life is consumed with, you know, putting the infrastructure together for running the three locations with continuity. So I've been working on this online training program where people will take, you know, the orientation and kind of the guest service modules and then how to clean a tank modules, kind of all online so it's consistent. And then each location will have a very, you know, specific set of logistical things they have to learn. So I'm behaving, I always have, just because this is all I know, I'm behaving as if we have 300 locations, right? We've got the infrastructure in place already, even though we're going to have three. So I just find that to be the most strategic way to do it, so we can scale.
Definitely for scale, but also for a consistent experience, no matter if they come to any location or if they're with any employee.
That's right. That's right. And it's one of the benefits of coming to Float 60, because if you're a member at Float 60, and, you know, we can talk about what a membership means, but if you're a member and you do come once a month, you'll have the ability to come to the South Loop location, which is going to be at State and Roosevelt, and then here in Indiana. We have a lot of people from Indiana who've come to River North,
yeah,
which is another reason I had the confidence to go ahead and
open
here.
So. Well, I can't remember what the current number is, but 28% of Northwest Indiana commutes to Chicago at some point during the week if it's not their full-time job.
Yeah, for sure. My entire neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like everybody's going to the city.
Yeah.
And there's a great population of people here in the region that always are looking for something unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's definitely a wellness community that we intend to really nurture and grow while we're here. That travel to the city to do these types of things. So to bring it home, it's very exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Definitely the health outlook in Northwest Indiana is catching up to kind of the coast or the city. It's, you know, sometimes it's slow to get to the interior U.S., but it's definitely catching up.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, I've actually, Float 60 is a culmination of my life, because I started my career, and it wasn't a career, it was a job at the time, as a fitness instructor when I was 15 years old. Mm. So I worked at pretty much every gym in the
That's
whole
cool.
region.
Yeah.
So I haven't been, you know, true to my fitness values for a long time, so I'm hoping to get back to that. But I feel like I'm already connected to that. Mm-hmm. I've been a member at Omni for years. I'm a member of Anytime Fitness. I belong to like 7 or 8 gyms, like total. But
depending on where you are in the region, you can pop in.
I mean, you think I could just pop in, but I really haven't been to any. I mean, that's, you know, when you run businesses, that's just such a luxury. So I've been cycling at home now with our new bike that we got ourselves for Christmas. But yeah, I think to the point of the community, there is definitely an amazing community out there. And I have to shout out to Dave, who runs Trek and Aquatots and, you know, Feet Fleet, that area over there. Really, what's great about those businesses, there's a community behind them.
Mm-hmm.
I've admired how he's built that up. And I've been, you know, with their 5K training program, and I know there's just a huge population of people in the region who need more of that.
Well, the whole 5K thing, I think that's exploded over the past 4 or 5 years.
They
yeah.
do such a great job with that over there.
Yeah.
It's just, you never really understand the complexity that goes into even doing that the right way, right? But just their running clubs and then the cycling clubs with Trek, it's,
yeah.
There's definitely people in the region who care about their health and wellness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So back to the business side. You said there's been some adversity along the way. Is there anything, one thing that if you could change going back to the beginning, how you've set it up or how you've done it, that you would change?
I don't think I would. I think I've been very blessed to have amazing team members. So, but the structure that we've put in place, because I'm so systems driven, mm-hmm. I drive my staff crazy with all my tech tools that we use. Like we're using Slack and we use this software, and I'm very close to the company that builds the software. So I'm always inputting, you know, we need this, we need that. But, I think that the one thing that I would do from just starting the business is, like I mentioned before, I have to be much more patient with the things that come up and happen in construction, right? And dealing with contractors and architects, and there's so many things that go into that. I think if there was one thing I would do different, when I first brought the vision to the architect that I worked with, who they're amazing. Even the story behind how I found them is a tie to the region. Can I tell that?
Sure.
So when I first had the vision of Float 60 and what it would look like and how it would appeal to people, the first thing I did was find an architecture firm that I thought would be able to execute on this. So I didn't know of any. I started Googling, like, best architects in Chicago, coolest projects in Chicago, right? And I found a company called Fox Studios, and they actually did the Groupon headquarters, and they've done some other wellness concepts. In fact, they just opened their most recent project called Air, which is this amazing ancient bathhouse in Chicago. So my architect worked on there, and this place is just unbelievable. So
yeah.
It's like you're going back in time, and you know, it's all based around waters and pools. It's a very, you know, communal type of concept. So completely opposite bars. But so I approached them through LinkedIn. I went on and tried to find the people who ran it. And lo and behold, the architect that I connected to was from Munster.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So yeah. He doesn't live in Munster now, but he definitely has ties to the region. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is fate. So I said to him, I'm like, I know you have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'm a tiny company and you work with huge corporations, but you're going to want to work with me. I promise this is going to be cool and you're going to want to be involved. And he took my project.
That's awesome.
So, but yeah. One of the things I would do differently, I would be much more involved in the field changes as we went. You know, when you concept something and then you have your architectural drawings, it's pretty set, right? And you have a contractor that follows those directions. Well, as the client, you really don't even see how that will come to be unless you have renderings, right? So I got renderings kind of towards the end of the project, and I might have manipulated some things, but a lot of things that we did, we could have not really had the foresight to change, just because
right.
Salt in this construction and soundproofing are critical in this environment. So some of the things that I've learned are, you know, soundproofing is very expensive. You could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on soundproofing and it will never be soundproof.
Never be 100%.
Never. Yeah. But you don't know what it's going to turn out until you're floating in that water and you're hearing footsteps above you, or you're hearing the L, right? So here in Indiana, we're really trying to do the best we can, but you know, it's just never going to be
right. Perfect.
But there's so much effort that goes into that piece and the plumbing, and you know, it's just a daunting task. It's not a business that you can just expect to, you know, plug in the devices and you're off.
Right.
That way.
And like you said, the first one is definitely got a learning curve to it, and then the second one, you're going to learn even more, and the third, you know, you're going to learn every one. And you're never going to get it 100% right.
That's right. Exactly.
So,
yeah. So, but other than that, my staff, really, you know, they've executed on my vision just amazing. And the guest service focus we have is very apparent. I mean, anytime we've had less than like a 4-star review, my heart's completely broken. I take all of that very personally. So I try not to, but, that is the number one thing for us is just making sure the guests feel very comfortable, because it's an uncomfortable thing to do for the first time.
Right.
So.
Cool. So any podcasts or seminar that's recently given you a big aha moment that you've either introduced into your business or said, yeah, I've been doing this right and I'm going to continue to do it?
We have a couple of industry podcasts that I listen to very often. In fact, I'm going to be I've been on one, and you know, somehow in the short amount of time, I'm like speaking as an expert, which is crazy. But I'm speaking on the 23rd on an industry podcast, and I learn something every time. We have a great community. It's another thing about the industry that's phenomenal. It's people who are in this business usually are people who are, they're nurturing type of people.
Okay.
And even though you think it would be competitive, people help each other. Right. So, I mean, there's a new place, not so much new anymore. In fact, they're probably close to a year and a half now, but Odo Float is a place up in Wilmette, Illinois. And we've literally borrowed salt from each other. I mean, right. It's just a great community. So every time I listen to a podcast, there's never a time I walk away like, oh, I knew all that. You learn every day, whether it's a new material to cover your floors or a new shower head that is more efficient for water or a new cleaning methodology to get rid of salt.
Yeah.
Salt's our frenemy. So salt is wonderful, but at the same time, it gets on everything.
Oh, I can imagine.
So we have to be very careful about the materials we use. So, but other podcasts, like Joe Rogan podcasts, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Joe Rogan Experience, because so many people have tried floating for the first time because they hear Joe Rogan speaking about it. He's been very profound for the industry.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be exposed to floating because you know, somehow in a roundabout way, I think my husband heard it from him and then a couple of other people through his career. But yeah, there's a lot out there.
Yeah. And I would say between the float and the cryo and cold water immersion and stuff, like Tim Ferriss talks about that a lot. Yes. And a couple of the other big podcast guys talk about that stuff a lot.
For sure. Tim Ferriss is another huge proponent. In fact, we have a library in our center, our studio in River North, and we'll have one here. And we've got all of Tim Ferriss's books and several different biohacking. It kind of taps into this community of folks that experiment with different things for performance optimization.
Right.
Called biohacking, but there's different variations of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It attracts people who are wanting to find a better version of themselves. So that's one of our values in our culture, is we are here to give you the tools to see if you can find a better version of yourself
or right.
help you chill out, right? So it's, you're not going to come to Float 60 and then walk out like, oh my God, that changed my life. It doesn't really work that way, right? You're going to be relaxed. You're going to be in a state of mind that you may not have tapped into for a while. And the practice of doing it will yield some amazing change in life. It's just not a one and done, like a diet pill. It doesn't work like that. You don't take it, or you don't go to a gym like me and not go and figure out why it's not working.
Right. Well, I think it was Seth Godin or somebody that I was just listening to or reading was saying that if you don't take the time for yourself, like in something like this, you can't be creative, you can't be entrepreneurial, can't be whatever you want to be unless you take a step back and take some time for yourself. So,
well, it's a very important concept in business, especially, or not just running a business, but being an employee or part of a team. When you're running from meeting to meeting and you're taking stuff in on things you have to do all the time,
right.
You never have a period to really digest that and transform that into true strategic execution, right? So that's me. I've been so busy my whole life that I filled my time, but then when I stop and think, what real strategic change have I had time to make? It's not as much, right? So if you kind of shift that a little bit, and self-care for me is my next thing to focus on, because I'm so business-centric and I'm so wired that way, just been this way my whole life, that I know that I need to get back to that, right? So part of my motivation in continuing to open Float 60s is that I create this environment that I'm around people who are bettering themselves.
Right.
Even my staff, I just admire all the people on my team who, take really good care of themselves. And so I find inspiration from them. And you just need that balance. You need to leave a meeting and actually put time on your calendar. Seth has talked about this before. Tim Ferriss has talked about this before. You need to block out times to actually do the stuff
right.
that you talked about in the meeting, right?
Right.
And so the float tank's a great place to force yourself to process differently, because you don't have stuff coming in at you. Mm-hmm. You could be much more thoughtful, and you plan, and you could come up with new ideas. In fact, one of the things we've done in River North, which is really exciting, is we've had this thing called float working, where a couple of business executives, or we had a team of software developers come in. They came in as a group, so all five floated at the same time. Before they went in, they had this objective that they were going to work on like 3 to 5 new pieces of functionality for their software. And then after they floated, there was a facilitator who kind of drew out the ideas. And it was...
That's pretty cool.
It's cool. It's like biohacking for business.
Right.
Or, you know, you could do that in so many different different applications. And we plan to do that much more when we open the South Loop location, have a little bit more room to facilitate meetings. But, it's great to step back.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to execute.
That's cool that they had a facilitator to kind of do it afterwards.
We provided that, and we provided bulletproof coffee in this particular one. You know, we did it for maybe 3 or 4 groups to kind of test it out.
Yeah.
We just don't have the room to do it right.
Okay.
There's still people who come in and do it, but in a less organized way, but we want to really formalize that and offer it to, we think it's the next form of, you know, corporate retreats, but it's only an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go away to some compound, and which is awesome if you could do it. But, you know, that takes a lot of bandwidth and time and money. And this does not.
Right. So. Very cool.
Yeah.
So is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to talk about?
Yeah, people ask me about pricing.
Okay.
So I want to talk about that.
Sure.
Everybody asks, you know, how much does it cost? It sounds really expensive. Well, it is definitely not inexpensive. It's 1,000 pounds of salt that we use, so it's, we have to charge for the water that you use and everything. But the first time you do it, it's $60 for 60 minutes.
Okay.
Our regular price is $90 for 60 minutes. And when I say regular price, that's kind of like the, I'm from the hotel industry, so that's kind of like the rack rate. That's like the most that somebody will pay for that experience. We really never want people to pay the full price. We have packages, we have different gift card promotions that we do at Christmas that are all shareable, by the way. We have very limited rules. We don't like to say, oh, you can't do this. We want you to come in and just be, it's chill.
Man.
So if you have a gift card, you can share it with somebody, or if you have a package, you can share it with someone. So we also have a membership that is $60 a month. You get one float with that, and if you float more often, it's $50 for extra floats.
Okay.
Even that's shareable. So we
we
really are trying to make it affordable. We want as many people to float as possible. So that would be one of the things. And people always ask about how we clean tanks too. I think that's an important thing to talk about. It's one of our values. Every flotation device is its own kind of like a pool setup. Very heavy duty filtration equipment, but there's 3 or 4 steps that go in. We can only run floats every 2 hours, because after every float, the machine has to cycle 4 times. And then we also have an ozone treatment and UV lights, and we actually use hydrogen peroxide for sanitation as well. So outside of that, my staff, again, I tell you how wonderful they are, as they work their rear ends off. Every 2 hours, we are scouring every surface area with Simple Green, you know, vinegar. We use white vinegar for everything. So everything's natural that we use. But it's just one of the most important things for us, because we want people to come in and feel very comfortable that we're, you know, providing a very safe.
You're not hopping in right after someone else.
Yeah. I mean, you are.
Right. With nothing happening in between.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a question that seems like an obvious answer, but people, you know, just don't understand what goes into it. When you put 1,000 pounds of salt in this environment.
Right.
I mean, that's at wholesale, that's like a $600 endeavor, right? So you never just dump the water. It's all treated just as it would be in a professional pool, because they are like personal pools.
Right.
So if you don't like to go into whirlpools or public pools, I understand that. Our environment's much more pristine than that, I can assure you of that. But if you're not somebody who, you know, can appreciate that, this, it's probably not for you.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure the machinery or the pools themselves are very costly as well. So.
Oh my gosh, that is like having five cars in one building. Right. It's, and the insurance is.
Oh, yeah.
Too. So yeah. All these from a business standpoint is a business podcast. So it's unbelievable the things that you do not think about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was familiar with business and running a business before, but this is a whole new level. Just when you're dealing with this kind of construction build on, anytime you have plumbing, we have so much plumbing, we have HVAC, and the area has to be, you know, monitored for moisture, and everything has to be waterproof, basically.
Right.
So.
Yeah, moisture proof. And,
And I'm sure. And tiles and epoxy grout and all that. I mean, there's just, I've learned so much.
And I'm sure, like you said too, that you have to explain it to everybody.
Yes.
So
we love.
Right.
And but it's tough to get it down to an elevator pitch. Mm-hmm. Basically, when I say it in 30 seconds or less, I say, well, it's like a personal pool, and the benefits are, you know, muscle relaxation, tension relief. It helps you clear your mind. And it's just a period of time for yourself. I mean, that's like the simplest version, right? And from the tank perspective, it's 1,000 pounds of salt and 200 gallons of water. And it's a pretty simple concept, but it's...
there's a few things involved.
Nothing simple about making it feel like nothing, which is the ironic part.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So you'll definitely have to come and try it.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know, knock on wood. No dates are ever written in stone. Anything can happen.
But February 13th, that's the target?
That's the target.
It's my son's birthday, so that's a good date.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, the real symbolic thing is it is 2 years from our our first one. So, yeah, we're very, very excited about it. And, again, it's the building right behind Steak and Shake. So where the new Bona Beef and McAllister's Deli is, right across from Omni, that's going on. We're excited about that too. I don't know if that's good for my diet, but I'm excited to have them as my neighbors walking across the street. But yeah, it's inside the professional building. Like Dr. Galante's in there.
Okay.
Dr. Platt.
Okay.
So yeah, beautiful buildings and plenty of parking, which is
not used to from River North.
Yeah, it's such an unusual thing to be able to offer because parking is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're really hoping that other businesses, you know, find ways to collaborate with us. We're definitely reaching out to a lot of businesses in the area. And, yeah, I'm just excited to be a part of the community here again because I've lived here. I'm involved with a bunch of stuff in the community. And it's nice to just finally bring this home.
Cool. So, cool. Yeah. Website, Facebook, anything? Best way to get a hold of you?
Yes. Yeah, so we're all over social media and the internet. So www.float60, all spelled out, FLOATSAXTY.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. We have a Snapchat filter. So when you check it in, you use your filter. I've learned about, that's the one thing I didn't, I'm an early adopter, but that's the one thing I didn't adopt early, but we really love the Snapchat. We love when people use it. And yeah, Twitter, we're on everything.
Okay.
At Float60.
Cool.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, so thanks for having me. This has been great.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
I look forward to having you in.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No problem. Cool. Thank you.